Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
We've begun to talk about idols, and we'll continue that some more next week. That is, if you agree that my passion for the World Series doesn't rise to the level of being an idol, a rut in my life, maybe. More of what I can honestly call a tradition, I hope. A tradition among many that God uses to enrich our lives and my life. It's that time of year. The leaves change, air cools, and baseball rains. It's World Series time, where a lifetime of memories are and have been made for baseball fans and will be made for generations of fans, younger and older, like you and like me. The World Series begins tonight, pitting the American League champion Boston Red Sox against the National League champ, the Los Angeles Dodgers. For me and many, it's a time of remembering, reflecting upon and comparing similar moments from the past of every pitch, at bat and hit, every agonizing strikeout in a crucial moment, along with unbelievable game-saving plays, sometimes questionable umpiring calls, all woven into the lore of baseball history. I can remember as if it were yesterday, a young boy living with my grandparents in Long Island, New York. They came from Poland through Ellis Island's long legal immigration lines. I remember watching with my hardworking grandpa, we both loved baseball, on his 10-inch black and white screen television as Don Larsen of the New York Yankees pitched a perfect game in game 5 of the 1956 World Series against the Brooklyn Dodgers. It still is the only perfect game ever thrown in the history of the World Series or any postseason playoffs. The Yankees won that World Series in the 7th game, but that game 5 we watched together would be the last baseball game Grandpa and I would ever watch together, as a day later, he suffered a stroke when we were packing the car to go fishing that morning together. The most meaningful of relationships in life are a lot like that, filled with joyous, glorious mountaintop highs and disappointing long valley lows. Excitement mixed with unexpected heartaches and disappointments, memories of fulfilled and unfulfilled dreams, home runs, strikeouts, and perfect games, fishing trips, and strokes, all forever etched on the fields of our days. During a recent trip out west, a dear friend drove me back to where he grew up as a child and is still home to him and where he runs some of the family businesses today. It was a privilege seeing and hearing his stories of growing up in that town, seeing the buildings, the grain silos, farmhouses, his house as a child, the same restaurant where his dad had enjoyed his daily hamburger for lunch, and then looking at pictures in his offices framing the memories and traditions in his life and that of his family through the years. Wherever we find ourselves, we should cling to and cherish those moments, memories, those traditions and values established through the years of our journey. There is a purity in all of those moments, those traditions, and in every thread of every relationship we have been blessed with in life. It's why Paul tells us in the passage we read to hold on to the traditions, to stand firm in what is good. They're a gift from God. Some of you may remember one such pure moment I have shared with some of you before, which started in 1967, a few months after my bride Linda and I were married. It was October, and the Boston Red Sox were set to square off against Bob Gibson, who had an unbelievable 1.12 earned run average for the season, the whole season. And the rest of the powerful St. Louis Cardinals were also with him in that World Series. Our wedding day was 4 months earlier on June 3rd, and we had enjoyed a brief honeymoon in our 4-day drive along U.S. Highway 17 up the eastern coast of the United States from Florida back to Dover, Delaware. I had enlisted 2 years earlier in the United States Air Force, and Dover Air Force Base was to be our assignment for the first years of our marriage. As the hour drew near for the first pitch of the opening game of that 1967 series, by the way, which were all played in the afternoon back then, my supervisor at the Air Force Base radar shop knowing my love for all things baseball, could sense that my attention was elsewhere rather than where it should have been, on fixing the electronic navigational equipment for our military aircraft to be able to get where they needed to go. Graciously, and probably for the safety of our aircraft and flight crews, he told me to go home and watch the afternoon game on television. As I was driving off the base, I stopped at the BX, the base exchange grocery, and bought a six-pack of Ham's beer. For the record, I quit drinking alcohol nearly 35 years ago, but this was during a period early in my life before I gave it up. I can't tell you what a six-pack of beer costs today, but that six-pack was 85 cents, which, believe it or not, our limited budget could not afford. The guilt of my purchase was immediate and growing. When my eyes fell on a florist shop as I was driving home, where I stopped and bought two yellow roses, 50 cents each. The florist put them into a field of tiny white flowers called baby's breath, some green ferns, all wrapped nicely in green tissue paper and tied with a pretty yellow ribbon. $1 more that we couldn't afford. But at least now I was feeling a little better about my self-centered purchase. As I headed home with my $1 bribe of yellow roses in hand, along with the brown paper bag, Linda met me at the door and beamed at the sight of the two yellow roses, which I pushed toward her with the words, "Happy World Series." It was the best line I could think of at the time, the only line I could think of at the time. Sad for me to admit, but they were the first flowers I had given her since we were married four months earlier. And also, they were given from guilt, not grace. But she was thrilled, never said a word about the brown paper bag hanging from my other hand or what was in it. Just one of what would be many times to come through the years of her grace and love that she always showered me with and helped me to learn to do the same for her and for others. Well, the Red Sox lost game one to Bob Gibson's record-setting performance of 17 strikeouts and eventually lost the World Series. But the tradition of the yellow roses, and now I usually give her a dozen, given on the first day of every World Series, has continued without blemish for 50 years, and it will be 51 years today when I give them to her later today. A glorious tradition, despite its less than noble beginning. And I also give them to my daughter-in-law, Amy, and my granddaughters, Hannah and Ellie, when God brought them into our lives years ago. It was the unintended beginning to a wonderful tradition, which now underscores a much higher message between us. We don't live back there, but we do embrace it and how the tradition began as a part of the foundation of our lives together. It has become an annual symbol for us of the renewal of a lifetime commitment to my bride, who was and remains a precious gift from God. And each year, no matter what is going on in our lives at the time, it is a moment and reminder of our love and our sacrifice to an ideal higher than self, higher than other things, and, whether you believe this or not, even higher than baseball. Traditions, no matter their beginnings, are often God's mark and reminder of the simple purity and value of those important things and people in life. Do you have a tradition that you need to make sure stays alive? Maybe there's a tradition you had in place at one point in time that needs to be renewed, or maybe there is one that you should start. Traditions which reflect God's grace and his teachings on how we should honor him by impacting, helping, and loving others in our lives. Traditions which are cherished and nurtured, energize us, and move us toward and remind us and others of a higher, more majestic, and eternal view of life. It's that time of year, but it's always that time of year to remember the special gifts of people in our life and of the dreams for our lives and theirs which God has placed within our hearts. Traditions align with God's will for our lives, and recognizing God's grace for us to then share with others, build memories, and add value to the lives of others, all building meaningful and eternal relationships. Happy World Series once again, year number 51 for our roses to my precious bride. And to all of you, dear friends, happy World Series. Press on. God loves you. Let's play ball. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for traditions, for memories, for moments where we learn how to extend your grace to others, even though started in a bad way, perhaps out of guilt, but how you turn that for good. Thank you for that. Thank you for my bride. Thank you for all of those on the phone who have special moments they remember and encourage and continue to nurture the lives of others around them. I ask that you would help us to continue to always remember the importance of the people that you've placed in our lives and help us to always extend your grace to them through us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.